Thank you, ladies. God bless you. Won't you take your Bible, please? Turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 4, the book of Genesis, chapter number 4. I've been enjoying our studies through the Word of God, different Bible books. Our Old Testament book is the book of Genesis. We've come to chapter 4. I'll preach on that this morning, God willing. I'll be preaching tonight on Genesis chapter 5. So the good Lord willing, we'll be in Genesis all day today. Genesis chapter number 4. We'll begin our reading in verse number 1. Genesis chapter 4, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord." Now, I want you to flip over to verse number 11. "And now art thou cursed." Now, this is God speaking to Cain. "And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." If you mark your Bible, I want you to notice that phrase, a fugitive and a vagabond. And I preach to you on that subject today, a fugitive and a vagabond. Let's pray together. We share this thought. Father, we love you today. Thank you for your goodness. Would you help our attention to be completely drawn heavenward and help us to understand what your word is saying in this chapter. Lord, it's a privilege to open the word of God and help us to be faithful to you and your word. Help us not to add to it or take away from it. Speak to our hearts, apply it to our lives, and help us to leave better than we came in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to this chapter, it would be beneficial to mention just briefly what has taken place thus far, because we're preaching through this book here. In chapter 1, we saw the mighty power of God creating the heaven and the earth. He made man in his own image and placed him into the Garden of Eden. This is in chapters 1 and 2. "And when there was not a helpmeet found for Adam, the Lord took one of Adam's ribs and made a woman. Adam now had an helpmeet that completed him. Life was great when you come to the end of chapter 2. However, in chapter 3, we saw the devil in the form of a serpent came to Eve and tempted her to disobey God by eating of the forbidden fruit. She listened to the lies of the devil and sinned against God. She also gave to Adam, and he also ate of this fruit. Man suddenly fell. And as a result of their sin, the Lord put them out of the Garden of Eden. They had disobeyed God. And this is where we pick up our study as we come to chapter 4 in the book of Genesis. We will see in this chapter the awful effects that Adam and Eve's sin had against God and against and on their children. As a matter of fact, we see in chapter 3 the root of sin, while in chapter 4 we see the fruit of sin. And I'm telling you that every parent, especially here today, needs to sit up and take notice that our sin does not stop with ourselves. It will affect those who we love the most. Now in verses 1 through 5 of chapter 4, we see that Eve gave birth to two boys, one of them named Cain and one of them named Abel. Now in the middle of this chapter, we see God speaking to Cain. In other words, something happens. We're going to look at this together now. That caused the Lord to look at Cain and say, "Now you are a fugitive and you're a vagabond and you'll be such in this earth." As I was studying this chapter and noticing Cain and the way he lived and the choices that he made, the Lord calls this phrase, a fugitive and a vagabond, to be drawn to my attention. Now, folks, when you look this word up, a fugitive and a vagabond, when you look those words up, basically what it means is one who wavers. It means one who wanders up and down and staggers to and fro. It's the idea of one who just wanders around aimlessly, going absolutely nowhere. This is truly what Cain was. Now these thoughts that summarize his life, I maintain that they also summarize the lives of a present day fugitive and a present day vagabond. In other words, I want you to put your life right beside of the life of Cain, because we're going to study the life of Cain and what caused him to be known as a fugitive and a vagabond. What was it that summarized his life that caused this phrase, you'll be a fugitive and a vagabond for doing this? What was it that summarized his life? We're going to look at these things, and I'm telling you that these things still summarize the life of somebody going nowhere. And these same things still summarize a person who just wanders around, going back and forth, up and down, and they have no clue what life is all about. Now, this being the case, let's look at this man's life. A fugitive and a vagabond. Number one, the first thing we notice about him as a fugitive and a vagabond, number one, he relied on his own way. He relied on his own way. Look at verses 1 and following. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. She again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the land, was a tiller of the ground. In process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, these verses tell us here that in process of time, both Cain and Abel brought an offering unto the Lord. Let's look at Abel first. Abel, and I quote, says, brought of the firstlings of his flock. While Cain, and I quote here, says, brought of the fruit of the ground. Now, in these two offerings, we see the difference in these two brothers. Abel brought an offering according to the will of God. We know this because the Word of God tells us that he brought it by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4 says this, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. The Word of God, get this folks, the Word of God says specifically that without shedding of blood there's no remission of sins. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Therefore we see Abel in his offering, bringing one of his flock, one of his sheep, if you will, bringing one of his firstlings. What he was doing is he was confessing his sin and placing his faith in his substitute. What he was doing here is he was approaching God on God's terms. God set the standard, and God said, if you're going to come to me and be accepted, I will only accept you on the basis of shed blood. So Abel bringing this offering of the firstlings, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, 4, he brought it by faith. He was showing faith in the substitute that was going to come and deliver us from our sin problems. And I'm telling you here, that he was approaching God on God's terms. This is ultimately fulfilled in the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who takes away the sin of the world. This is why the Lord Jesus identified Abel as righteous in Matthew 23, 35. Out of the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus said, he called Abel righteous Abel. You know what that means? That means he was a saved person. That means he was a child of God. How did he get saved? By faith, my friends. He got saved by faith. It's always been by faith and not by works. And I'm telling you that this was Abel's offering. But we see a fugitive and a vagabond doesn't come God's way. He relies on his own way. Because we notice what Cain did on the other hand. We see Cain bringing an offering of the fruit of the ground that was of his own working hands. See, in this offering of his, we see Cain was not offering to God what God demanded, but what he wanted to offer. He was showing his own contented self-confidence. He was relying on his own way and his own works of his own hands to please God. He was relying on the work of his own hands to satisfy the Lord of glory. See, friends, the Lord is always and will always require the shedding of blood. However, Cain's offering was bloodless. There was no blood in his offering. He was in reality showing his infidelity here. In this, we see he was rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why the Word of God says concerning Cain and Jude, verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. And the way of Cain is relying on some other way than the way that God has set. And we see that this is what he did. I wonder this morning, am I speaking to somebody who knows that the Bible says it is by grace through faith, and yet they are putting and relying on their own works and their own way? Am I speaking to somebody, listen to me now, who has not put their faith in Christ, but put their faith in something else? I'm telling you, if you've not put your faith in Christ, you are not going to heaven. Because that's God's way, friends. Are you resting in the finished work of Christ? Or are you resting on your own works? If you're relying on anything other than God's way, you are sadly mistaken and making the same mistake that Cain made. He did not think he needed God's way. He thought that his way was good enough. This is a fugitive and a vagabond. A man who wanders aimlessly, going to and fro and up and down and going nowhere, having no clue about what life is about, is a man who relies on his own way. A man who relies on his own works. But it doesn't stop there. There's a second thing. Number one, he relied on his own way. Number two, he responded in anger. He responded in anger. What happened whenever God had respect unto Abel's offering, but he had not respect unto Cain's offering? Look at verse number 5. But Cain unto his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. The Bible tells us that the Lord had respect. You know what the word respect means? It means he gazed at it. It means he regarded it. In other words, when Abel brought this sacrifice of the animal that is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament, pointing towards the crucifixion of Christ, when he brought it by faith, Hebrews 11:4 identifies that. When he brought it by faith, the Bible says God respected it. You know what that means? That means he looked at it. He couldn't take his eyes off of it. That's what it means. And yet the Bible says when Cain brought of the offering of the fruit of the ground, let's just say this, is fake here. I like using things. I'm starting to do this more and more, but I really like doing it. This is Cain's offering. There's no blood in this offering. Let's just say that I made this with my own hands. What I'm talking about is I planted it, I watered it. Everything about this is part of my work, if you will. Cain brings his offering thinking that he's just as good as Abel is, and he sets his offering down to God. And the Bible says God did not respect it. You know what it means? He said he wouldn't even look at it. Not even going to look at that. And what did Cain do? The Bible says as a result of this, Cain got wroth. You know what that word wroth means? It means he blazed up. It means he grew warm. It means he got angry and he got jealous. That's all in that word wroth right there. Look it up, friends. It means whenever he was not accepted, Cain started getting mad. He started getting hot inside. His temper started raging up and he got angry and he got jealous toward his brother. And I'm telling you something. The Lord verifies in verse 6 right here that this is exactly how he responded, because in verse 6, God said, "Why are you wroth, Cain? Why are you mad?" And the Bible says his countenance fell. You know what that means? That means it showed on his face. You can't hide your anger very long, friends. You can't hide your bitterness very long. All I'm saying to you is this. Now listen to me. Cain made the mistake himself. And when God did not accept Cain, Cain did not get it right. He just got mad. He lost his temper. He threw his temper. He was hot over this. Proverbs 14:17, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly." Proverbs 29:22, "An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression." Ecclesiastes 7:9, "Be not hasty in a hurry in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools." The Bible says in Matthew 5:22, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment." And I'm telling you here that I may be speaking to somebody who has a bad temper. Somebody who gets angry and you throw your temper. Don't ever fall prey to this, "Well, that's just who I am." That's the problem. Because you're exactly right. That is who you are. You know what you are? Flesh. You're exactly right. And just like I said, one thing the Lord's really helped me with is my temper. You can ask my mom. She's here. She can verify it. Now, Glad said she saw me chasing my brother on a riding lawnmower when I was a kid. I don't necessarily believe that. I saw Glad. Where's she at? I saw her. "Yes, I see you back there. Bless your heart." But one thing I can verify, because I remember it, and my wife can verify this, I have a very forgetful memory, but this is vivid in my mind. I've told you this before. But one of the worst things growing up in my life was my temper. Now, I know I'm not talking to anybody who can you know, associate with this. This is for the benefit of those who haven't heard it. I got so mad at my brother one time. Honestly, if I could have got to him, I don't know what I'd have done. I took a baseball bat after him. We were living in a trailer at this time, and this particular trailer, our bedroom was back here, and we had bunk beds, if you can imagine, and so on. This when I was younger. And the hallway, and then the front door, when you would open the door, it would seal the hallway off. You follow me, right? Well, that door had a little window in it. And we was in our bedroom, and I was chasing him through that hallway with a baseball bat. And he closed me off. He closed me off. I busted the window out of that door. My mind goes blank at that point right there, folks. I don't remember what my dad or my mom did, and I think that's the Lord helping my memory there, you know. I remember one time he made me so mad, I was from here to that chair and took a baseball and threw it as hard as I could at him. I had a pretty good arm too, friends. I don't now, but I used to. And he's funny, though, I'm telling you. You know, honestly, I think when, you know, growing up with him and seeing him the way he turned out, how many of y'all know my brother? Would you raise your hand? You'll agree with this. I think I did hit him in the head with that baseball bat. How many of y'all going to tell him when you see him? Would you raise your hand? You're going to tell him that? Sure. I love my brother. He's crazy. But he knew how to get under my skin, friends. He still does every now and then. Have y'all like to see me chasing him with a baseball bat today? Would you like to see that? Sure. Have y'all put that on YouTube? Would you raise your hand? Yes. What am I saying? I'm saying this. If you're a person that your temper just the Bible says that kind of an attitude lies in the bosom of a fool. Somebody came up to Billy Sunday and said he had a bad temper. But it was all over in a minute. In other words, it's all over in a minute. We see your temper, it's all over in a minute. And he responded like this. He said, "So's a shotgun, but it blows everything to pieces." If you're not careful when you lose your temper and you get angry, you'll say something to somebody that you'll take to your grave. You know what a fugitive and vagabond is? Somebody that wanders around aimlessly, going everywhere. You know who they are? People who respond in anger. That's who they are. People that instead of having a Christ-like spirit, they respond in madness. All this kind of stuff. Now, I'm not asking you to give a personal testimony. It's none of my business if you have a bad temper. Because I've been there. You ought to get mad at the devil and mad at sin. But you understand what I'm talking about. Something just doesn't go your way. What got Cain so mad? You know what got Cain mad? God. He got mad at God. God's the one that didn't respect his offering. It wasn't Abel. Abel didn't have anything to do with it. Abel was just coming God's way. He's the one that did that, disobeyed God. So in reality, you know what Cain was doing? He got mad at God and he took it out on the one who was right with God. This is a fugitive and a vagabond. Even though it was Cain's own fault, he got mad. His countenance fell. Let me ask you a question. You have a problem with your temper? When something doesn't go your way, how do you handle it? You know what I've learned? When you're tempted to get mad, get alone with God. When you're tempted to get mad, Just start praying and saying, Lord, help me with this. And before long, he'll calm you down. You want me to tell you why? Because if anybody has a right to be mad, it's God. And he'll constantly remind you, remember what you did to me? Yet I forgave you. And he'll calm you down, friends. I'm telling you that the devil's a master at trying to get you to respond now. It's what he did to Eve. It's what he did to David. It's what he does to all these people. Get mad. Now you deserve it. It's righteous anger. I mean, look what happened. Go ahead. Say it. Listen, you thought it. You might as well say it. It's the same thing. They deserve it. Go ahead. Get mad. That's demonic thinking. The thinking of Christ says this: I may have been wronged, but I will be forgiving. And I will ask God to help my spirit to be right. Number one, a fugitive and a vagabond relied on his own way. Number two, a fugitive and a vagabond responded in anger. Number three, a fugitive and a vagabond rejected God's grace. We see this in verses 6 to 8. Notice it. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now, when I read that, I had no clue what that meant. I didn't know what it meant. But the more I studied, God opened my understanding. And God showed me something that I didn't even know was in this story. Let me show you what's happening. In these verses, at first glance, one may miss what the Lord is doing with Cain. As a matter of fact, I do not believe I fully understood what is taking place here until I studied this passage in depth. Notice in verse 7 how the Lord said, if you do well, shall you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. In a nutshell, what the Lord is doing in this verse is this. He's giving Cain another opportunity. Now keep in mind, Cain's already he's already brought the fruit of the ground. He's already displeased God. He's mad. He's angry. And God begins to say, why are you mad? In verse 7, he says, if you do well, you'll be accepted. If you don't, sin's at the door, and it's ready to come up and take hold of you. What is God doing? He's saying this, Cain, I still care about you. And I'm going to give you another opportunity to get this right. Did God change his way? I'm talking about God's way. Did God change his way for Cain? No. He said, the way's still the same. But I'm going to give you grace. And he offered grace to Cain. The Lord said, if you do well, I'll accept you. In other words, you've done wrong. But if you'll get it right, I'll be pleased. That's what he's saying here, friends. He's extending mercy and grace to Cain by leaving an open door for him to see his sin and come by God's appointed way. However, we read the very next verse in verse number 8 that Cain did not accept God's gracious offer. But he rejected it. What a sad commentary on this man's life at this point. Cain's talking with his brother, whom he's jealous of and angry with, rises against him and kills him. Oh, what a sad day. Look how far Adam and Eve's sin has gone. Parents, beware of your sin. 1 John 3:11-12 says this, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. That's 1 John 3:11-12. God says you to love your brother. Don't be like Cain and kill him because he was ungodly and his brother was righteous. God is a God of grace, friends. And God is a God of mercy. God could have cut Cain off immediately and been just in doing it. But instead of cutting him off, in other words, Cain got wroth, his countenance fell. At that moment, God could have struck him dead and sent him to hell and been just in doing it. But God in his mercy came to him and said, why are you angry, Cain? If you do well, I'll accept it. If you don't, sin's lying at the door and it's going to come and get you. God is saying, I'm giving you a chance to get this right, Cain. Just change your way. Come my way. Bring the offering that has blood with it. Because without shedding of blood, and the next verse, he didn't do it. He didn't do it. Cain hated his brother, got mad and killed him for it. Someone said this, if our heart's not right with God, we will be tempted to hate and harass the godly. 1 John 2:9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. 1 John 2:11, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, but that darkness hath blinded his eyes. 1 John 4:20, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? 1 John 3:15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Let me ask you a question. Is there somebody in this life that you simply cannot stand? Is there somebody in this life that you're so angry with to the point that you don't mind if they live or they die? You know it's possible for a child of God to even get to that point? I thank God a child of God's forever saved, but bitterness can swell up in a child of God just like an unbeliever. And I wonder, is there somebody in this life that right now the Holy Spirit's pointing them out in your mind? Right now you can see their face. Right now you have their name. And in your mind you're thinking, if I got a call right now saying that they died in a car crash, I don't think I'd shed a tear. Because I don't care if that person lives or I don't care if they die. You know who that is? That's Cain, friends. And you know what Cain is? He's a fugitive. And he's a vagabond. A fugitive and a vagabond, I'm telling you, rejects the grace of God. Somebody says, how does that apply to a child of God? Obviously it applies to a non-believer, because that's who Cain is. God's grace is open, but a vagabond will say no to the grace of God and end up burning in hell. But how can we apply this to the child of God? It's not a direct interpretation. I'm just applying it to children of God. What? How can we apply that? You know how we apply it? God's grace is enough to see you through anything. Will you accept it or will you reject it? A fugitive and a vagabond says no to God's grace. Doesn't stop there. Number four, Cain refuted God's knowledge. He debated with God. Look at verse number 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? Question, did he already know where Abel was? Isn't it amazing how God deals with people? He comes to Cain and he says, hey Cain, where's your brother? Notice what Cain did. And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? I don't know about you, but I sense a little bit of sarcasm here. I can't prove that, but you can't disprove it. He's mad. He's upset with God. He's killed his brother Abel. Now God comes. God won't leave him alone. Kind of how he works, isn't it? He won't leave him alone. He says, Cain, where's your brother? Cain says, I don't know. So he's lying now. See that? Am I my brother's keeper? You say, what's the point here? Here's the point. God already knew. And Cain tried to prove he didn't. I'm telling you, he's refuting the knowledge of God. He had progressed to the point here. I'm telling you that he knew exactly what Cain had done. However, we see Cain refuting his knowledge. We see him arguing and debating with God. He said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? In this we see Cain both lying to God and trying to hide his sin. He should have known the Lord already knew the truth. This is God who's speaking to him. But instead he's now refuting with God and his knowledge. You know what's amazing in the same way and interesting to notice how an individual who's living in rebellion against the Lord progresses further and further until that individual gets to the point where he blatantly lies to God and he blatantly refutes the knowledge of God. My friend, the Bible says that God knows all things. He knows all things. So if he asks you a question, it's not that he doesn't know. He's trying to get your attention. Oh, Cain, where's your brother? I don't know. I'm not my brother's keeper. And in this, he's saying, God, I can hide it even from you. How did he get to this point, friends? What a terrible, terrible place to get to. Do not make the same mistake Cain made. Friends, don't get to the point where you argue with and lie to God. There are people today who have been in church down through their lives, and they've heard the gospel and rejected it and so on. Now they're out. The FBI can't even find them. And yet if they came in my office and I confronted them on their sin, they'd say, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. You know who that is? That's Cain, friends. And who's Cain? A fugitive. A vagabond. What's a fugitive and vagabond do? Well, he relies on his own way. That's what he does. He not only relies on his own way, friends, he responds in anger. He rejects God's grace and he starts refuting God's knowledge. God doesn't even know what I'm doing. It's ridiculous. Matthew 10:26, fear them not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. John 21:17 says, whenever the Lord is dealing with Simon Peter, and Simon Peter responds and says, and he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, I believe it is, that God's understanding is infinite. You know what that means? It's endless. He knows all. And yet a fugitive and a vagabond argues with God. God's dealing with him in kindness and generosity right now. But yet he rejects it and he starts refuting with God. But it doesn't stop there. There's two more. Stay with me now. Number five, he reaped what he had sown. Verses 10 to 15. I'm not going to read it for time's sake. But God has given him a gracious offer. He's turned it down. He comes to him and says, where's your brother Abel? He gets mad at God. He starts speaking back to God, lying to God, refuting God's knowledge, saying, you don't even know where he's at. I don't know where he's at. You don't either, do you, God? So God said, okay, that's it. Read it yourself, verses 10 to 15. And he says, now you are a fugitive. You're a vagabond, and you'll be such on this earth. What's the point I'm trying to say? The Lord had been gracious and merciful to Cain, even in his rebellion and anger. Cain had rejected God's grace and mercy. He had progressed to the point where he argued with God, lied to him, and tried to cover his sin. Now the Lord begins to speak to him in these verses and tells him that the voice of Abel's blood was crying unto him from the ground. The Lord proceeds to tell Cain that he is now cursed from the earth, and when he tilled the ground, it was not going to bring forth its strength. Then he told Cain, a fugitive and a vagabond, shalt thou be in the earth. In other words, he was sentenced now to a life of wandering back and forth, up and down aimlessly. However, the worst thing about this is Cain spoke about himself. And in verse number 14, notice what he said. He said, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. Notice this, and from thy face shall I be hid. Cain saying, this is it. I don't want anything to do with you, God. And you're going to get rid of me. You say, what's going on? The bottom line is Cain, after rejecting God's grace, continued in his downward spiral and finally reaped what he had sown. He had sown the wind, and now he's reaping the whirlwind. Galatians chapter 6 verse 7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. A life lived in rebellion against the will of God will end up reaping more than they bargained for. For instance, if there's someone listening to me right now who's going their own way, doing their own thing, it may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but one day you will reap what you sow. And I'm telling you that a life lived in rejection of Jesus Christ, it may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, it wasn't for Cain. But eventually, the Bible says Cain died and he goes off into oblivion. Romans 2, 5 and 6, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Number 5, he reaped what he had sown. And number 6, in closing, he resided in the land of Nod. We see this in verse 16. I'm not going to read all of this, but verses 16 down to verse number 24. But notice verse number 16. God has dealt with him. And Cain went out, notice it now, from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod. That land of Nod is a powerful word. It's interesting to note that what took place after the Lord dealt with Cain concerning his sin and rebellion. Verse 16 says he went out from the presence of the Lord. He's trying to get as far away from God as he possibly could. And he's now residing in the land of Nod. You know what Nod means? Vagrancy. Vagabond. Wandering. You say, what's the point? The point dwelt right here, this word dwelt, and dwelt in the land of Nod. You know what that word dwelt means? It means he sat down there and he remained right there. In other words, we see Cain, the first human being ever born, as a gift from God, forsaking the Lord, now residing in a land of wandering, going nowhere. He's living constantly now in a place of waywardness. He's a man that's wandering aimlessly through life with no thought of God. We see him going forth to live without God in the world. He went from the presence of the Lord. That doesn't mean that he got away from God and his presence. God's everywhere. What it means is that he didn't want anything to do with God. He left where he knew God was. He wanted to go on his own, do his own thing, be his own person. You see him building cities and begetting children. He's establishing a civilization apart from God. And as you read these verses down through verse 24, we start seeing some of his descendants, and we come across the beginning of polygamy. And you come across another man by the name of Lamech who also was guilty of killing somebody. And there's no mention in verses 16 to 24 about God. None. None. And I'm telling you, what a sad sight to see one with so much potential for God who went his own way, the way of the world and the way of his flesh, and ended up as a fugitive and a vagabond wandering aimlessly down through life. In the same way, we must understand that any individual who's calling their own shots with no thought about the will of God and saying no to the grace of God is also on a slippery pathway to the land of Nod. How is it that there are so many people today who are going around in circles with no real meaning in life? How is it that these people are roaming up and down in life with no contentment and no thought about God, trying everything that comes around the pike, but never finding contentment and peace? It takes place, my friends, when they start resting on their own way. They start relying on their own way. They go their own way, do their own thing, and they began to refute against God. They began to respond in anger. They began to reap what they sow, and then eventually that person who was blessed by God has now landed in the land of Nod. See him right there where that word dwelt, just like I said, means to sit down. He's in a place of wandering. He's in a place of aimlessness. He's in a place of no hope and no answers to life. And the Bible says he got so mad and so angry and rejected God and didn't want anything to do with God and killed his brother, and he still thought he knew better than God. So he moved himself to the land of Nod. And when he got there, he sat down. Terrible commentary on a person's life. Terrible! And it all started when he said no to the will of God. Don't end up a fugitive. And don't end up a vagabond. Don't end up in the land of Nod, but in the land of God. Stay right with God. How do I close this? I don't even know. I'm telling you that as we come to this chapter, we see the first set of brothers born to Adam and Eve. These two boys were born with the same background and with the same environment. I refuse to swallow the lie. It's just how I grew up. It's my mom's fault. It's my dad's fault. It's my surroundings. Hogwash. Cain had Adam and Eve and God, and he knew what was right, and he had the same background as Abel did. Don't swallow that bunch of hogwash. They had the same background, same environment. They were attempting to worship the same God, but oh, how different they were. Abel came by the will and way of God, while Cain was willing to be first at all cost. Cain was a man mightily blessed by God who decided to turn away from the way of God, and we see him as a fugitive and a vagabond, wandering aimlessly in life, relying on his own way, reacting in anger, rejecting God's grace, refuting God's knowledge, reaping what he had sown, residing in the land of Nod. And I plead with you today, don't let this happen to you. Turn to God. Accept his authority in your life. And submit to his will. You will either say yes to the will of God, or you will say no. If you say yes, peace, contentment, true happiness, heaven, all these things, I'm talking about salvation here, will be yours. If you say no, anger, resentment, refutation, refuting God, getting mad at that, mad at everything, come down the pike, and end up over here just wandering around in circles. Now, what life do you want? It's your choice. What's your answer going to be? Let's all bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you today. Thank you for your goodness. I pray, Lord, you help us now. May the will of God be done. As they're preparing, I want to begin to ask you some questions. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Maybe somebody here today say, Jody, I've not accepted Christ, but I'm doing the best I can. Can I say something to you? That's the way of Cain. They say, Jody, I've not accepted Christ, but hey, I've joined the church. That's the way of Cain. The way of Cain is relying on your own way. God's way is one way. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you know that you've come the way of the cross? Do you know that you're truly saved? Or are you resting in something else, relying on something else? If you need Jesus, come, let us take a Bible and share with you how you can be saved. Are you living in obedience to God? I'm talking to children of God here now. This first question was for non-believers. Now I'm changing it to children of God. Are you living in obedience to the Lord? Do you understand that even as a child of God, you can end up in the land of Nod? A land of aimlessness and wandering back and forth, up and down. Oh, you're on your way to heaven, but in this life you're doing nothing for Jesus. Do you need to confess your anger? Somebody has a problem with your temper? Won't you come talk to God about it? Maybe you're saying, Jody, if I'm going to reap what I sow, I got trouble. You come get that right? Or are you living, maybe somebody's already living in the land of Nod. I don't know how God's speaking to you. Let's do business with him, shall we? Let's all stand together. Father, bless the service. Bless this invitation. May the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If you need to come accept God's way, that's the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You come. You need to come confess your anger to God as a child of God. Come on. Whatever it is, maybe there's a brother or sister that you don't like. Maybe there's a family member. Maybe there's somebody at work that you just can't stand. Come confess it to God. Ask God to give you strength and grace over it. Whatever God's dealing with you about, as Brother Gary sings, come on. Come on now. Would you do that? Here it is. Come on.
I wandered far away.
Talk to the Lord.
Lord, I'm
ask him
coming
to help you.
Home, coming home, coming home, evermore to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home.
Sing on, Brother Gary. God bless you.
I've wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Open wide thine arms of love.
playing through softly. Playing through softly. May the Lord's dealing with you. I don't know how the Lord's dealing with you. And I know Cain is a picture of a lost person. There's no doubt about that. He's lost. If you're standing, you can look this way just a moment. We're dealing with some folks. I know the direct interpretation is he's lost. He's on his way to hell. The Bible calls him wicked. He's of the wicked one. That's the direct interpretation. But as a child of God, how can we apply it to our lives? We apply it to our lives by saying this: God, we're saved. We know we're going to heaven. We've trusted Christ as our Savior. We know that we're going to a better world. Please don't let me live and nod on this earth. Don't let me live and nod. May the Lord help us with this. Amen. Amen. Let's all bow our heads one more time, if you don't mind. Brother Gary, if you'll sing another verse, that's...
My soul is sick, my heart is sore. Now I'm coming home. My strength renew, my hope restore. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Nevermore.
The Lord is working. I like it when the Spirit of God shows up, you know. Praise the Lord for that. There's a couple of things we'll take care of here and then get you on your way, all right? This is Hayden Page. And Hayden, if you'll stand there, if you don't mind, your mother's with you. Beth, if you want to stand with him, that'd be great. This young man has been being dealt with by my wife some in Cadets for Christ. This is one of our families here in the church. God bless them. And he's been dealing with salvation. We're so proud of him today. I understand his mother had the opportunity, she's standing with him in the home, to lead him to Jesus Christ this week. Isn't that great? He knows he's saved. I just talked to him. I said, do you know you're saved? He says, yes, I know I'm saved. He knows he's going to heaven when he dies. Have you happy for him? Say a big amen. You understand, seeing people like my face and your face, it scares a little boy like this to death, you know? I'm just kidding with you. We're proud of you, young man. God bless you. And this is the Barnett family. If you wouldn't mind to stand, this is Damon and Kim and Ham and Hannah. They've been visiting our church a good while now. Good while. This is a solid family. God bless them. And they've sought the Lord about this, no doubt. And they believe it's the will of God for them to come and unite with our church as members by letter. And could I get a motion that we receive them by letter? Brother Mark, second. Brother Steve, all in favor, say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. So carry. If you do oppose, shame on you, right? We're glad to have you here. This precious couple here was on visitation with us yesterday. I like that. And get in here and help us, you know. A lot of work to be done. We're happy to have you. God bless you. Wonderful. We want you to stay here. And Hayden, if you and your mother stay right there. Many of you will come by and shake their hand. Just let them know that we're glad to have them here. Let Hayden know that you're proud of him. And now he's going to see Jesus some glorious day. Hope you'll be back tonight, 6:30. Financial seminar at 5:30. John Sevier Chapel at 4:30. Hope you'll pray for that this afternoon. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Bless this time. Help us, I pray. And may you help these that are being dealt with and have been dealt with. Touch them, we pray. Keep your hand upon this church in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. Love you. Hope to see you back tonight. Come by and shake these dear folks' hands, would you please?